Guys, I was supposed to film this video 2 weeks ago, but I kept falling behind and then hating myself for falling behind, getting stressed at how behind that I was, and then getting tired because I was so stressed. And even when I've had downtime recently, rather than just relaxing and recharging, I've been really in my head about what I haven't done and what I'm not doing. In other words, your boy is burned out. Which shouldn't be too surprising, as I spent the first half of 2025 trying to save my old channel, then after getting laid off, I immediately dove headfirst into creating this channel. And that meant that during my vacation this summer, I still worked a lot. And while the specifics might change, I imagine that most of you relate to this experience, at least on some level. So in this edition of Burns After Reading, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite books of contemporary philosophy, Byung-Chul Han's The Burnout Society. This book offers an incredibly clear and accessible explanation for why burnout and mental illness more generally have become such central features of life under whatever stage of capitalism we're currently living in. So I'm going to talk about my experience with the book, why I keep coming back to it, and why you should read it too. Just a reminder, if you want to get this book, I have an affiliate page at bookshop.org with a reading list. And if you use Bookshop instead of Amazon, you're both supporting independent bookstores and helping support the channel. There's a link down there in the description. I honestly forget who first recommended this book to me. I'm sorry if it was you, but it was at a time when I was dealing with my own experience of burning out in academia. I had a bad philosophy hangover in the years after I stopped teaching full-time, or didn't read that much and just watched lots of movies and took long walks. But I was attracted to this book because A, the cover was really cool. B, it was by an exciting thinker I'd never heard of. And C, it was short as hell. Look at this. Look how skinny this book is. And soon after getting the book in 2020, the whole COVID pandemic thing happened, and I was soon unemployed, getting solid benefits from the government, and spending the first ever chunk of my adult life without having to worry about school or work. Now, I feel guilty for saying what I'm about to say, but the lockdown era was kind of great, you know, because bracketing the global pandemic that killed millions and forever changed our society and immune systems, it was the first time that many of us got to stop working, catch up on books and TVs and movies, learn how to bake bread, and momentarily step out of the capitalist meat grinder. And during this time, I briefly started streaming on Twitch, and I did a series of weekly sessions where I was talking about this book. And it really resonated with people, and I think it was because at the time, many of us were wondering why it took a global pandemic for us to step back and just feel a bit more human. During that time, we could be bored and inactive, but in a normal way. You know, we could hang out without the anxiety of work living in our heads. We could read books, watch movies, play instruments. You know, it was only during COVID that I got back into playing guitar, and post-vaccine is when I started a band, and those things have been so meaningful and joy-producing in my life. But soon, I was offered a full-time job. And you can't say no to a full-time job in digital media during a pandemic. You just can't. And soon after that, my brain started feeling like it had before. Stressed, anxious, worried, burned out. Now, one of the ways that Han describes this in the book is through the transition from a society of obedience to one of achievement. Or in other words, a society of should to a society of can. Now, where the obedient subject does things because they must, whether because of a boss, the state, or some other mechanism of societal external control, the achievement subject does things because they can. This is the world of possibility, of hustle, of self-optimization, of betting on yourself, creating your own lane, and being your own boss. While the obedient subject works out of the threat of negativity, the achievement subject hustles because of unlimited positivity and productivity. It's not surprising that early in the book, Han links this culture of positivity and productivity with ADHD, among other things. Shout out all my ADHD heads, my ADHDHs. Now, this all sets up a world of self-exploitation where the boss used to exist at the factory or at the office, but now the boss exists inside of our heads. You know, the call is coming from inside the house, so to speak. And even when we're not at the office or when we turn off Slack, we still feel the pull towards productivity, of using time to achieve and working harder, not because we should, but because we can. Now, one of the outcomes of this, according to Han, is the rise of depression.
I'm gonna avoid my taxes and I'm gonna get arrested because I got depression. Pull back the curtain on capitalism, man. What do you see back there?
Now, he writes that the complaint of the depressive individual, nothing is possible, can only occur in a society that thinks nothing is impossible. And depression is the sickness of a society that suffers from excessive positivity. It reflects a humanity waging war on itself. A society that runs on infinite possibility and infinite productivity comes into contradiction with the infinitude and limits of our humanity. And this call for excessive positivity leads us to reflect on our own lack of production and achievement. And it leaves us feeling like we're just failing. But in reality, we're just being humans. In this age, it feels bad to remind ourselves that not everything is possible. We can't do it all. And there are limits to our productive capacity, and that's okay.
Oh, I'm getting tired again.
This leads to a cycle of burnout and boredom, where we're either working our asses off because we can, or existing in a type of inhuman boredom when we're not. For me, this often looks like working hard on a project for days or weeks on end, and then when it's over, I only have the energy to lie on the couch right here and watch some terrible TV series that's just passive entertainment for my half-dead brain. This is a sort of tiredness that leaves us feeling inhuman, like all of our humanity, all of our life, all of our energy has gone towards being productive for someone else, and we don't really have anything left for ourselves.
So one thing that has helped me deal with burnout to some extent is getting more sleep and getting better sleep. My normal sleep routine is I have headphones in so I can listen to a podcast, and then a sleep mask on so I'm cozy and the room is dark. And this mask is one I got years ago from a company called Manta Sleep. I've used it for a very long time. So I was very excited recently when Manta Sleep, the company that makes the mask that I use every night, reached out asking if they could sponsor this video. I was even more excited when they sent me their new sleep sound mask right here. And not only is this sleep mask ridiculously comfortable, it also has built-in Bluetooth headphones. So I no longer have to worry about having a separate pair with me in bed. I can simply put this thing on, load up one of my favorite podcasts, and go to sleep. And this mask looks great. It feels great. It's super easy to wash and take care of, and it's super easy to adjust. So no matter what size head you have, you can make this thing fit well. And I absolutely love being able to have a sleep mask with built-in headphones. It's truly a dream of mine. So if you want to deal with burnout by getting a better night's sleep, use the link in the description. Use the code BURNS at checkout and get yourself a Manta Sleep mask. I've been using these things for years. It's so fun that now they're sponsoring this video. I can't recommend them enough. Oh man, this is so comfortable. I really want to sleep right now, but I better go back downstairs so we can do the rest of this video.
Now, for Han, it's not just that this culture of positivity is making our lives suck. It's also making it harder to find space for things like philosophical and creative thought. He writes that we owe the cultural achievements of humanity, which include philosophy, to deep contemplative attention. Culture presumes an environment in which deep attention is possible. This type of attention, of course, happens not only when we're not working, but also when we're not thinking about working or worried about being behind at work or wondering if we're missing out by not monetizing our hobbies as a side hustle. Some of us had a taste of this during the pandemic lockdown, and I was very, very privileged to spend a few years in grad school, largely getting to just think and read and hang out. And it only cost me a student loan debt that I'll never be able to pay back. But what Han is getting at here is that what's good for the information economy is very bad for our humanity and our ability to create culture and art and philosophy. And this is because, in a sense, we no longer have the time to just be humans, just to be people. Han writes that today we live in a world that is very poor in interruption. Betweens and between times are lacking. Acceleration is abolishing all intervals. And this time in between things is precisely where our humanity happens. You know, without this, all of our time is focused on positivity and achievement, usually in a way that benefits someone else way more than it does us. You know, instead of giving us time to chill out, read some books, listen to tunes, and think about the world and our place in it, Han writes that the society of achievement and activeness is generating excessive tiredness and exhaustion. I'm just kidding. What if I fell asleep during this? It could happen. This means that because so much of our time goes towards achievement and productivity, well, our remaining time is marked by tiredness and exhaustion. And this makes me think of a conversation I've had with a good friend recently. Shout out to Philip. In which we talked about how we wish we hung out more, but often on nights that we're free, we're just so damn tired from work and life, so we don't have it in us to drive across town to hang out. So instead of creating community and building social relations, our tired time is just spent eating dinner on the couch, watching a Star Wars. But it's worse than this. As Han writes, tiredness of this kind proves violent because it destroys all that is common or shared, all proximity, and even language itself. Now, tiredness is violence because it gets in the way of our shared humanity. You know, turning us more and more into isolated nodes of consumption and production rather than interrelated members of social, cultural, and political communities. Speaking of community, I wanted to let you know that if you're in the San Francisco area, I'm doing a live event on October 10th with CJ the X and Dr. Fatima. It's part of CJ's Kill the Internet series, and we're going to gather together as human people in real life to try to make sense of the culture that's making us all so burned out. I would love to see some of you there, so please do check out the link for tickets and more info in the description. Please come to it, please. Okay, so now it's time for me to be very on brand and talk about how this all becomes a political problem. And that's because there isn't enough time or energy for us to really get pissed off and, you know, burn some shit to the ground and make something new. Han writes that the general distraction afflicting contemporary society does not allow the emphasis and energy of rage to arise. Rage is the capacity to interrupt a given state and make a new state begin. Today, it is yielding more and more to offense or annoyance, having a beef, which proves incapable of effecting decisive change. While beef gets us things like Kendrick versus Drake or YouTube videos about who is a dummy and who is the smartest boy, rage has the potential, according to Han, to facilitate real change. But when we're constantly tired and distracted, we can't cultivate that rage, as there's always something happening, you know, something else to occupy our attention, something else to worry about, something that demands that we stay productive. It's the same feeling that leads you to pulling your phone out when you go pee in the middle of the night, and then you get worked up because you saw a tweet that made you angry and you can't fall back asleep afterwards. No phones during night pee. No phones during night pee. Guys, no phones during your night piss. You know, we're annoyed, we're upset, we have beef, but we're not doing much with it because we're too damn burned out. But if we had time to slow down, time to contemplate, time to just be human, well, we might discover the sort of rage that can enable us to interrupt the system. To recklessly paraphrase Han, we need to be able to say, fuck this shit, and start over. Now, there's a lot more going on in this book, which again is only 51 pages long, and I really encourage you to check it out. Obviously, the library is the best place for books. If you do end up buying this one, consider using my affiliate link at bookshop.org to avoid Amazon and help support my channel. And if you like the idea of hanging out with me and some like-minded people as we take the time to dive deep into books and contemplate what's going on in the world, consider signing up for my Patreon and joining my ongoing book group. I'm currently reading the work of Frederick Jameson, and I definitely would love to read some Han in the future. It's a great way to keep this channel going while also using it to build some intellectual community. I would love to see you there. And a huge thanks for the positive reaction to the pilot episode of Burns After Reading on Soren Kierkegaard's The Present Age. I honestly expected that video to bomb. So to see a lot of you connect with a very simple video about a book I like was so encouraging, and I now have a long list of books that I'm hoping to cover in the future. And because this is for y'all, primarily, let me know if you have any books that you would like me to Burns After Reading. And a final shout out to my buddy Henry, who, when not editing videos for my channels, runs an amazing stream and channel called Techno Poverty that mixes books and big ideas and video games.
If you could save scum social interactions, the problem is you'd get to a spot where, like, you meet the coolest Rule 34 artist on earth who draws just like the coolest pregnant Sonic you've ever seen. And then you're like, I want to have a romantic interaction with this person. And it's just like, you would never be able to penetrate the romantic wall. You'd be driven insane because you would be constantly trying to figure out how to woo the person who does the perfect M-Preg Sonic, but you'd never actually be able to do it. And so that's why it might be bad if you could save scum social interactions.
The show streams live on Twitch. VODs go up on YouTube. I'm going to put a link below. So subscribe and jump in with what they're building. Shout out Techno Poverty. It's very cool. Well, I'm cozy as hell, so I think it's time for me to just take a nap. you're still watching right now, wouldn't it be insane if I had my first wet dream in 25 years and it happened when I was filming for a YouTube video? What if I like said a name out loud when it happened, you know? That would be pretty, it'd be pretty tough for all parties involved, you know? I'm just sleeping and you hear Amy Klobuchar, and then you know what happened. And then the question there is, does this become a pornographic video, you know, or is it natural? Because that's just a thing that happens. Let me know what you think in the comments. JK, if anyone, it would be Tim Walls.